The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 2, text number 71. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari. Recorded on January 14th, 2018, in Brampton, Ontario, Canada.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bhanukamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunata Vita Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshatarine
A person who has given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty clear. If you want peace, you have to live up to this definition. Otherwise, you're not going to have it. So what's the opposite of peace? Agitation. If we don't live up to this description given by Krishna here, our minds are going to be agitated. There's no two ways about it. It's one or the other. You're either peaceful or you're agitated. If we have any desire other than pleasing Krishna, our mind will be agitated. So, how do we have that, the garbage? That's the question. How do we get free of all those nasty, rascal desires that are not for pleasing Krishna? That's the question. Because that's what we have to learn how to do if we want to become peace, truly peaceful, you see. That's what we have to learn how to do. So what's the technique? It's given by Srila Prabhupada. It's very simple. The first thing is you have faith in this process. You have faith in the process of Krishna consciousness. This is called preliminary faith. well, this looks pretty good. I'm going to give it a try. There you go, step number one. You're on the right path. Step number two, well, they have programs regularly here in Brampton. I can associate with like-minded souls who also want to do this, you see. That's called Sadhu Sangha. You associate with others who also wanting to do the same thing. Because you help each other, you reinforce each other. Now you come to step, just by being in this meeting, you've already gone to step number two. Congratulations. Step number three, now you solidly commit yourself to the process. You take a guru, you get initiated, you commit yourself to following your spiritual master's instructions. You see, now you've gone to step number two. Some of you have made that step, some of you haven't. We encourage you all to take that step. Accept a guru, get initiated, make your commitment, a solid vow that now I will take your orders as my life and soul, because that's what you have to do. If you want to become free from agitation, become actually peaceful. So now after you got initiated, are you liberated? Nope, not yet. Now you're locked into the process with a vow, you see, so that's good. You're making progress. But what's the next step? Let's see. The next step is what separates the men from the boys, or the ladies from the girls, you see. And this is a step where you really got to get serious. Initiation is very serious, but now when you take your initiation vow seriously, some people take initiation lightly and they don't really surrender to the spiritual master. They take it, but they kind of remain, you know, quasi-disciples. You know what I mean? Some do them. But those who take it seriously, that I accepted a guru, I'm going to follow his instructions now, taking them as my very life and soul, you see. Those who do that, then they move to the next stage. That's called anartanavritti. Because we have a lot of anartas, unwanted dirt in the heart. We have lust, we have anger, we have greed, we have madness, illusion, envy, laziness, craziness, all kinds of crud in there. It's like stool in the toilet, you got to flush it, you know. It's a lot of stool in the toilet of the mind, a lot of stool there, you see. All these contaminations of material desires. So, how do you flush it? How do you get rid of all that stuff? You see? That's what Prabhupada is talking about here now, you see. As a youth, I was also trying to become self-realized, although I had not yet come to Krishna consciousness, reading different books. I was trying to figure out how to become self-realized. And I read about, you know, denying the material world, denying everything, detaching yourself from everything. So I was trying that, you see. Deny, 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 deny. Not this, not that. I was actually going to go to India and just be a sadhu, holy beggar, basically. That was my plan. Because I couldn't relate to, you know, that was my career path. Instead of being a doctor, an engineer, a lawyer, or a fireman, or whatever, I was going to become a holy beggar in India. That was my career path. But on the way, I had a philosophical realization. Because I was trying to deny everything in the material world, deny this, deny that. Like they call that neti-neti process. Not this, not that. One night I had a very profound realization. And I wrote it down on a piece of paper. I went, wow, I got to write this one down. This is really good. My realization was this. I denied and I denied until I could deny no longer. And then I had to start accepting. In other words, if you want to deny everything, you know, you want to become completely desireless. I want to become totally desireless. I want to deny everything. Deny this, deny that. And you have one more thing to deny, and that's denial itself, you see. I want to cut out all desires, but you still have a desire to be desireless. You see what I'm saying? So to be truly desireless, you have to cut out the desire to be desire. You have to not desire desirelessness either. So it brings you to a point where you have to desire something that's transcendental to the material world. That's what you have to do. You have to desire something that's transcendental. Because if you haven't done that, you're still desiring desirelessness, which is a desire. As I was trying, I realized, if you want to deny everything, you have to ultimately deny denial also. It's the same idea. So Prabhupada very nicely brings us to this understanding. True desirelessness is simply desire for Krishna. That's true desirelessness. So how does that work? What are the mechanics of that thing? Simply the desire for Krishna. How does that work? I've given the example thousands of times. Prabhupada gives a perfect example. The hand and the body. If the hand desires to enjoy separately from the body, like, you know, give me a glove. The hand says, give me a glove jamun. I want to enjoy it, you know, one of these Indian sweets, juicy Indian sweets. And the hand says, okay, now I'm going to enjoy that glove jamun, squeezing it, you know, squeezing all that juice out. Juice is all running all over the place. Yeah, I'm really enjoying that glove jamun. But can the hand really? No, you can't really enjoy the glove jamun separately, Mr. Hand. Mr. Hand, if you want to enjoy that glove jamun, if you want to get the nutritional benefit of that glove jamun, the actual energy of that glove jamun, you got to put it here. Got to stick it out here, you see. And then it'll go down here, and then through the bloodstream, the energy of that glove jamun, the hand will then get the energy of that glove jamun. So if the hand tries to enjoy the glove jamun separately, it cannot do that actually. Can only get that enjoyment when it feeds it to the belly. So we living entities, if we can only be satisfied when we give our loving service to the complete whole, the origin of everything, that is God. Or as we say in Sanskrit, Krishna. So the hand has to give up this tendency to desire separately because he can't be satisfied in that way. But when the hand then understands the true way to be satisfied is to give the glove jamun to the belly, to the mouth. So the mouth can be compared to the spiritual master and Krishna to the belly. And you offer it to the spiritual master, the mouth, then it goes to Krishna, the belly. You see? So someone may say, well, that sounds all fine and dandy, but how do I know this really works? I mean, you know, it could just be, for all I know, just some fancy flowery words. How do I know this really works? Well, it's very simple. Truth works. Isn't it? Something is true, it works. If it's not true, it doesn't work. So all you have to do is give it a try. You know, if you're skeptical, well, just give it a try. Mr. Hand, give that glove jamun to the mouth and see what happens. You see? Try giving your loving service to Krishna through the medium of the spiritual master, because that's the authorized way to do that. You see? Just try it and see what happens. You see? I was very skeptical. I was thinking, okay, well, I'll be Krishna conscious, but I don't know about this thing of a guru, you know what I mean? George Harrison had just come out with My Sweet Lord. I was a singer-songwriter, and George Harrison had just come out with a huge hit, My Sweet Lord. I went, wow, you know, that's what I'm going to do, write songs about Krishna, become like George Harrison, you know, big Krishna, Hare Krishna superstar. Not a disciple, not one of these Brahmins, not one of those shaved up brahmacharis. No. But then one day I actually heard the devotees, how they were singing and they were recording. Samsaradava naladita loka chanaya karyunya gana gana vam praptashakalyana guna navasya vande guroshi charanada vindam. I was, as they say, blown away. I mean, I was completely mesmerized, tuning in to that love the devotees were feeling for the spiritual master. I realized that loving the spiritual master was, that love was the purest love you could ever taste. It was the sweetest, purest, most nectarian, most exhilarating, enlivening, thrilling, fulfilling love you could, beyond anything you could ever imagine in this material world. So when I understood that, I simply thought, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Srila Prabhupada? And that's when things really turned around for me. You see. That's when my spiritual life really clicked in. You see. So from my own experience, I'm telling you, not just book knowledge, I'm speaking from my own experience as a spiritual seeker. How taking shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, dedicating my life, taking his order as my very life and soul, how such a huge transformation. I mean, I had all kinds of materials. It was the hippie movement. You know, we were doing all kinds of things. Sex, drugs, this, that. Everything was fine for hippies. Some, so polluted, really. Very polluted consciousness. But now, brahmachari, tapasa brahmacharena, shamena cha, jagena cha. A whole different approach. Instead of hippie life, brahmachari life. It's a big change. But it was ecstatic. It was nectarian. Because now I'm actually connecting with myself, my true self. Before I was a false concept of the body. Here I'm a young man, let me enjoy my senses, right? Where are the young girls? Where's this? Where's that? Where can I enjoy? But it was always frustrating. All my attempts to enjoy were always frustrating, ultimately. Because I was trying to enjoy in a way which was not satisfying the self. You can titillate your senses, but if you don't actually satisfy the self within, what is the value of that titillation? It's simply an illusion of happiness. So when I actually plugged in to accepting the spiritual master as my authority, taking his instructions as my very life and soul, then the whole life is just completely transformed. So I know from my own experience, I found it the most satisfying peace of mind you could ever imagine. When you actually tune into Krishna consciousness, everything becomes beautiful. Everything becomes wonderful at every moment. Even the adversities become blessings. We gave a lecture the other night, Peace in Adversity. Even the adversities, like Kunti Devi is praying, Vipadar Shatitan Shatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatat Queen, she's a queen. She was used to living in the palace, but now she and her sons have been exiled to the forest, living in all kinds of dangerous situations and being attacked by man-eating rakshasas. Can you imagine a woman in the forest? They're being attacked. What kind of stress that would be for a queen? In the forest? How would you like to live in the forest with man-eating rakshasas coming after you? Would your mind be peaceful? Think about it. But she was. Actually, when the whole thing was ended, she was back in the palace in Hastinapur. She said, Krishna, may those calamities, may those adversities come again and again and again. Because when the adversities come, I can do nothing but take shelter of you. And by taking shelter of you, I see you present before, with me. I experience, when I take shelter of you, I fully experience your presence. And in that, in your divine association, which I fully experience when I take shelter of you, I will no longer see this repetition of birth and death. Now I'm resituated in my eternal relationship with you beyond this material existence. So she found adversity to be a great blessing, you see. So that's peace of mind, you see. That no adversity of this material world can ever disturb your peace of mind, you see. Even if you're in an automobile accident, pretty disturbing situation. An automobile accident, you know. You're in the hospital, you're seriously injured. Unless you're Krishna conscious, you say, okay, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And now yours, this body belongs to you. Do whatever you want to with it. You can heal it, you can kill it. Doesn't matter to me. I know that I'm your eternal servant. And if you want to take me out of this situation, put me somewhere else, or you want me to stay here, whatever you want, I'm simply your servant, you see. So one who completely puts himself in the hands of Krishna is never disturbed in any situation. Because he sees how Krishna is orchestrating everything at every minute for him. Actually, that's a fact. Krishna wants us all back in his eternal abode. And he's arranging everything at every minute for every one of us, how we can come back to him as soon as possible. We just have to learn how to tune in to Krishna. In fact, we have a special mantra for doing that. You know that mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. This is for tuning in to Krishna. When I was a kid, my dad had a high fidelity FM radio. And there was two knobs on that. There was the tuning knob and then the fine tuning knob. You tune to the station and then you take the fine-tuning knob and you zero in to get the best stereo sound you can possibly get. Fine-tuning, you see. So this Hare Krishna mantra is the fine-tuning knob on our consciousness. It's not just a daily duty where you got to chant your rounds, Prabhu, Hare Krishna, finished. No. It is an opportunity to fine-tune your consciousness. See, I know I'm the servant of Krishna because my guru taught me that. So now that's tuning, but the fine tuning, to refine that understanding of who I am beyond this body. I see the fine tuning knob is there, the Hare Krishna mantra. So if you take advantage of this process, you will experience that state beyond all desires of the material world. Actually, a devotee, one who has actually mastered the art of Krishna consciousness, he's free of any desire except he has two desires. He wants to please Krishna. He wants to totally please Krishna, unlimitedly, with his every thought, his every word, and his every action in all times, places, and circumstances. That's all he wants. And the second thing, he wants that all the living entities of this material existence shall be delivered back to home, back to Godhead as soon as possible. And he fully dedicates himself for the world deliverance mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His whole life is, every minute, that's vibrating within his heart. How can I be a pure devotee? And how can I make everyone a pure devotee? How can I bring peace to the world? You see. So it's an amazing state of bliss. It's more than anything you could achieve here. Somebody may want to become a millionaire or a billionaire or a prime minister or a president of a university or there's so many desires people have here. So many ideas of what it is to be successful. It's like they had a magazine, Success Magazine, you see. But these fools don't know what is actual success, you see. Actual success is to revive your dormant Krishna consciousness. Each and every one of you is an eternal associate of the Lord. Every one of you is actually a citizen of the spiritual world. You're not Canadian citizens. Each one of you is a citizen of the spiritual world. But due to a misuse of your independence, you wanted to try being the center of existence. So Krishna gave you a place where you could think you're the center of this material world. So now you're waking up, you've learned your lesson. I'm not really the center. God is the center, not me. So now, through this process of Krishna consciousness, spiritual awakening, you will come back to your actual identity. And if you stick with this process and become mature, there will actually be a day when you realize who you are in Krishna's pastimes. We don't jump to it prematurely. That will be detrimental. I think I know who I am. I'm sure I'm a gopi or I'm a gopa. No. You just surrender fully to your guru and Krishna. And by that full surrender to guru and Krishna, that day will come when you will actually become resituated in your eternal loving relationship with Krishna that you had before you fell into this material existence. And so that's where this process will take you. Now some papers are being passed around. Feel free to write some questions down. We have 15 minutes left. And I'll be happy to answer any and all questions along with my beloved wife. She and I will share the answering to the questions. Her answers are really powerful. Really powerful answers. She gives sutra-like answers. Boom, boom, finish. I go on. I give long-winded answers. She gives sutra-like answers. Boom. It's like the silversmith and the blacksmith. The blacksmith, he goes tapping all day. Tap, 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 tap. No, excuse me. The other way around. The silversmith, he goes tap, 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 tap. All day long. The blacksmith, boom, one stroke, finished. She's like the blacksmith and I'm like the silversmith. Boom, finished. So if there's any questions, you can pass them up. While you're writing them down, we'll look at one. We'll look one more time at that verse. Maybe. The second mic would be great. If not, She'll speak loudly. But look at the verse one more time. A person who's given up all desires for sense gratification, who lives free from desires, who has given up all sense of proprietorship and is devoid of false ego, he alone can attain real peace. So I would encourage all of you to take this process very seriously. Because the fact is this. If you neglect to take this process very seriously, you're going to have an agitated mind. And you know what an agitated mind takes you? It takes you to another material body at the time of death. If your mind is agitated with material desires, and that's what agitated mind means, material desires, you will take another body again. You will take birth again in this material world and go to another term of imprisonment in the prison of material existence. You want to stay in prison or you want to get out of prison? You see, it's your choice. You can remain in the prison or you can get out. If you want to get out of the prison, you have to become a pure devotee of Krishna. free of all material desires, that my only desire is to please Guru and Krishna. So if there's any questions, you can pass them up. Here comes one. I'll take the first one, and then Guru Mata can do the second, and like that. Okay. One of my friends' acquaintances' son, 2 years old, is suffering from pneumonia. The parents are depressed. What as a human being, help him? Chanting is one means. Any other thing we can do to help him? A two-year-old kid, he can't understand the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Suffering from pneumonia. Well, that okay. The parents have to have the proper understanding that this is some karmic reaction for previous sinful activities. Therefore, the parents need to show the example of becoming initiated disciples of the bona fide spiritual master and very seriously practicing this process of Krishna consciousness. Because you actually surrender to Guru and Krishna, your karma is reduced almost to nil. There's a little residual karma to remind you to take it seriously. But practically speaking, Krishna says, Sarva dharman padit yaja mam mekang shadanang vraja ahang thvang sarva pape vyo mokshya shumami mahashutaha. Give up all nonsense, fully surrender to me, I will deliver you from all of your karma. You see? Sarva pape vyo mokshya shami. So when you actually surrender to Krishna, you only get a token reaction. You see. You're actually meant to have your head cut off, but you got a little scratch on your finger instead. Like that. You get a token reaction for some time, and that goes away after a while. So the parents need to have the proper understanding, and they need to be solidly situated in the path of Krishna consciousness, cultivating pure bhakti. That mood of the parents then will create an atmosphere in the home that will be conducive for that child's liberation. What if a child dies from pneumonia? Is it? So there should be kirtan. Play a kirtan. Let the child hear the holy names. Let him, and they can stand for, they can summon and sing kirtan to the child as much as they can. And have recordings. Go to a doctor, of course. Okay, now no question? Mic doesn't work? Huh? There's no question, only one question. You all sleeping or what? Wake up! Everybody knows all the answers. You're already liberated souls now, seeing Krishna at every minute. That's what Papa told me. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That's a symptom of you're actually perfect in Krishna consciousness. Krishna becomes revealed. Okay.
Krishna is the master and you are the servant. Whatever you do it for Krishna. For said in the Bhagavad Gita, yat karosi, yat asnasi, yat juhosi, tatasi. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you give away in charity, do that and not continue. That's how you can make progress in spiritual life.
Next question. How should be my relationship with Guru God brothers and a newcomer? Krishna consciousness should be your relationship. With your Guru, you're fully surrendered to him, that his order is my life and soul. With God brothers, you have loving relationships, reciprocal hearing and chanting together, serving together, sharing realizations with each other. A newcomer, be very merciful to the newcomer. Remember when you were a newcomer? You see? Somebody took the time and trouble to be kind to you, and that's why you're here. I just remember how Vishnu Jan Swami was so kind to me. And that's why I'm here, because a devotee took the time and trouble to be kind to me. You see? So, don't be an impersonalist. You have to learn how to be very merciful to the fallen souls. And here's an insider secret in this connection. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. Therefore, those who are enlightened with how this process works, they're very greedy to give Krishna to as many people as they possibly can. Not superficially, but in depth. They want to fully give Krishna to as many people as they possibly can. Because that's how they become dearer and dearer to Krishna.
Mental health issues are prevalent in today's society. When I was mentally unhealthy, I wasn't able to do my duties and spiritually. When I became mentally better, I started preaching Krishna consciousness once again. My question is, if I were to become mentally unhealthy again, how do I keep preserving my sadhana, pursuing my sadhana and the Krishna consciousness again. If one is purely Krishna conscious, there is no question as to mentally unhealthy. Because we have some other old ulterior motives, then we become mentally agitated and we become mentally unhealthy. But in any case, if we can continue pursue our Krishna consciousness in all circumstances, we will remain on the track.
Okay, next question. This is a long one here. Persons coming in the temple always and performing spiritual activities, enjoying the spiritual environment, but out of the temple, they're doing material enjoyment, even punching devotees. Yeah, that happened to me when I got punched one time in the pujari room, by a brahmachari room. He enjoying materially as well as spiritually. Another person is also coming to the temple. He's Salander. I don't know what Salander is.
Slander.
Oh, he slanders everything. Ooh. But suffering materially different way. How do you differentiate these two devotees' situation as a piece of life? These devotees, how you can call them devotees, that's my question. You're really stretching the definition a bit, aren't you? Someone who slanders? Are you kidding? That's a devotee? He's masquerading as a devotee. He may have tilak in the nose, but you know that bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Here comes another disciple of Kali. He has tilak on the nose, kanti mala on the neck, and he's keeping so many women for illicit sex. It's a bhajan, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We could have people like that here in Canada too. Who are making a show of being a devotee, but they're slandering devotees, they're punching a devotee in the face. This is not devotee. I wouldn't differentiate very much between them. They both sound like disciples of Kali masquerading as devotees to me, to be frank. But what is your position? We have to make sure we're not devotees of Kali also. You see? our position is we is like a doctor in the hospital. He wants to cure everybody. You see. So we shouldn't be proud. It's like there was one, it's like it is sometimes said, there but for the mercy of Krishna go you or I. You see. Somehow or other I was even though I was also a slanderous, punching in the face type of person, somehow or other I was fortunate to get the seed of Krishna consciousness because some devotees were very, very kind to me. And now I've been able to understand what is pure devotion. I'm seriously cultivating it. So I shouldn't be proud, holier than thou attitude. Who is this jerk over here? I'm really advanced. Who is this low-class jerk over here? No. I was fortunate. Now let me make these people fortunate also. That's the move, you see. Don't be puffed up, Prabhupada said. It's really, he said, don't be puffed up. Prabhupada made a very strong point, you see. So don't be proud. Be the humble servant of the Vaishnavas who are strictly following, the humble servant of the Vaishnavas who are not strictly following, the humble servant of those who don't even know anything about Krishna consciousness. We are the humble servants of everything. The more you become the servant of the servant of the servant, that's when you become glorified and appreciated by Krishna and the pure devotees. The great acharyas are seeing you, what you are doing. They're understanding your mentality. Everything is visible to the great acharyas. So you should act in such a way that you become a recipient and a transmitter of the mercy coming from the great acharyas. In this way, your life will become glorious. This reminds me of a wonderful saying I used to hear from Vishnu John Swami, my Bhartma Prajarkesha Guru. He said, Prabhupada said this, you're always saying, all glory is to Srila Prabhupada, why don't you become glorious? So what is that? What does it mean to become glorious? Become a pure lover of God. Free of all material desires, kick out all the dirt. Kick it out with boot. Get rid of the lust. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the greed, the madness, illusion, envy, the laziness and craziness. Kick it out now and say, get out of here, Mr. Lust, Mr. Greed, anger. Get out of my heart and don't you ever dare set foot again in my heart. I want you out of here once and for all. Now my only business is to purely serve Guru, Krishna and Vaishnavas, and to liberate these fallen souls who are caught up in karma chakra. Any other questions? Actually, our time is up. So, I guess that on that, one more from Guru Mataji.
How to look for a spiritual master and what should be attitude in order to take shelter?
Mike, close to the mouth.
Yeah. How to look for the spiritual master. First step is that see where you can surrender, fully surrender. Here is the spiritual master. Can I surrender? Can I render? And can I follow the instructions that he gives me with life, as a life and soul? And as an attitude, in order to take shelter, you have to see the authorities. What are the requirements? They can tell you. If you find a spiritual master, go to the authority. Say that I want to take shelter with such and such guru. And what should I do next step?
Okay. We thank you all very much. I understand this is your last program here in the old center. I'm looking forward to coming back next year and seeing in 2019 and seeing your new center. I have to wait a whole year. Srila Prabhupada, Savior of the whole universe, Ki Jai.